Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled, The Very Difficult Job of Changing Consciousness on a Fallen World, Individual Consciousness and Mass Consciousness. As change agents, this is your job. Here is Gabriel of Urantia.
My personal opinion, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or Nelson Mandela should have got the Man of the Century Award. That's my own personal opinion. Not that Einstein wasn't a great man, but he didn't have to face the kinds of things that Nelson Mandela and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had to face. Coming together with equations, wonderful as they were, was not the kind of courage that it took to pursue God's perfect will and the calling of the two men that I mentioned. Even Einstein himself, when he was awarded humanitarian awards, when he was still alive, said, "I don't deserve these awards. Mahatma Gandhi does." He knew. Having courage and faith in the face of persecution and death, and a passive resistance approach to social and political change is an everyday, moment-to-moment battle. It isn't just one battle. It's continual battle after battle after battle, day after day after day. Mostly all of Nelson Mandela's and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life. And if Martin Luther King Jr. would have lived, he'd still be battling to change the consciousness of the world. The battles would not have been done on this fallen world. I'm sure that Martin Luther King Jr., named partly after Martin Luther of the Reformation, had no idea when he became a minister, a Baptist minister, that God would call him to be a change agent, to be a mover and shaker of world events. He didn't have any idea of that, not then. His parents thought he would be just a country preacher, maybe, have a peaceful life, family and children, peaceful congregation, in the Baptist tradition, just like his father, Martin Luther King Sr. If any of them would have any idea of what would happen with his son, may not have been able to beat the moment-to-moment challenge that they all met when those moment-to-moments came. Nelson Mandela, in the beginning struggle against apartheid in South Africa, he didn't think he would one day become president. That wasn't on his mind. He just wanted to bring change, bring true freedom to his people. I think at the time he probably would have thought someone else would have made a better president than he. All the years that he suffered in prison, he kept the faith of freedom for his people. He did not become bitter or angry. He kept love, not only for the persecutors that were persecuting him, but for all of those in the world who persecuted others. He prayed for his enemies, as Christ asked him to do. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s family and Nelson Mandela's family met their daily responsibilities before God every moment of the day. Not that they missed a few moments, but they must have kept much more of those moments in God's perfect will, for look what happened to their sons. The will of God led these two men to greatness, and they too are Mahatmas, great souls. All that they had to do was to make one decision at a time for God. One decision at a time for God. You have to make enough right decisions for God in order to stay in that destiny wheel of your personal actualization in God. One soul in the perfect will of God can help change the consciousness of the world. One soul. That soul that has found its place moment to moment in God's perfect will has also found a power within oneself, a dignity of purpose that you cannot get any other way. Not if you became a king or queen, an executive of a corporation, if you became a billionaire, you would never find that destiny of purpose unless you are in God's perfect will and did what God wanted you to do in God's now. For God has greatness in store for all of his ascending sons and daughters in God's time. You too can have the mandate of the bright and morning star of your universe, but it will come in God's time and after you have paid the price. Oh, what price is that? Well, it's a lot of demand before you can be put into the responsibility of that kind of leadership. You have to be the leader for real. You have to be willing to take on the cross of suffering. As Jesus told his apostles 2,000 years ago, "You do not know what cup you are asking to drink out of," Jesus said. "Don't ask so quickly, lest you be tried." The soul in every walk of life that walks in the perfect will of God, that one soul, is worth 10,000 souls in the permissive will of God. That soul is chosen by God to become a destiny reservist. All those that become permanent members of divine administration are chosen by God to become destiny reservists, each one of you. You then have to continue to choose to remain a destiny reservist day by day. Until then, you too are put into a position of leadership over hundreds, thousands, perhaps millions and billions one day. That is your goal. Can you meet the mark? Nelson Mandela could have become very angry in prison. He could have become hateful. He remained outside of the prison in his soul. For in the prison of the walls, he was an eagle in God's world. He was an eagle in the spirit. And he did more for his country in prison, behind bars, without speaking a word, than many who wrote books in so-called freedom and became successful and famous. Nelson Mandela was far more the man. Reverend King, too, when insulted, and he was called a communist, could have given up under the tide of prejudice, hate, and misunderstanding against him as a man of God. He had to know that he was a man of God. He had to believe in himself. He had to believe in his calling. He had to know that he was a good man. He had to have a sense of pride and dignity and integrity. Oh, he knew he wasn't perfect, but he knew that he was in the perfect will of God. And that made him perfect in God's eyes. Both of them had to keep their vision alive within themselves and have a sense of purpose for the people of their country and the world in which they were fighting for. It wasn't about themselves. Both of them knew that, or they would not have become as great men in God as they have become. Both men had a dream. Martin Luther King said it over and over again. "I have a dream to free the peoples of the world to pursue their God-given destinies. In order to become successful in the world, you have to compromise with God's will. Tug of war goes on all the time. I know. I've been tested over and over and over again in this life. According to the world, I'm a failure. According to God, I'm very successful. And the perfect will of God, and do have the mandate of the bright and morning star, I've been able to become an audio fusion material complement to bring continuing faith epic revelation to the world. It is written that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith, wow, what a word. Who are you trying to please? That's what you got to think about. Who are you trying to please? Because if it's anyone or anything else other than God, then you're in a catch-22 situation. You're in that double-minded thing again. Because you should only be trying to please God. And trying to please God, then, when you finally have made up your mind, I'm going to only try to please God, you will find that you will be led on many detours, stop signs, on the road of your destiny. Because you are going to be wanting to do this, and God's going to say, do this. There goes God's now and there instead of your now. Detour after detour after detour sometimes. Not that God wants you to throw the ultimate goal away, whatever that is, if you've been able to realize that deep within your heart, your destiny. But God wants you to be the true image of Him in that destiny at the end of the goal. And that's the only way you're going to meet it, in God's will. Outside of God's will, you can meet that destiny by becoming rich, famous, prestigious, manipulating to get there, whatever. And once you're there, it's not going to be the same, because your influence will not be the influence of God. It will be the influence of Caligastia. You have the power of Caligastia, not the power of God. That's a hard one to understand. And in this life for me, God has sure put me in a position of patience. I have not lost my determination, nor have I lost my vision. Although at times there are days that I have lost it. But I regain it. I have to regain it for the sake of all of you in the world. For if I do not meet my destiny, you will not meet yours. Now, that may sound like a statement of ego, but you have to understand that many go before each other. I, who have the mandate of the bright morning star, go before all of you. I have to meet my destiny before you can meet yours. You want to sing before the masses? I have to sing before them, before you. For if I don't, you will not meet your destiny in God. You might sing before the masses in Caligastia, but if I don't meet my destiny in God to sing before the masses, in God's will, you will not meet yours. You have to get that one. My enemies would say that all I'm about is wanting to produce my music and become a star. How ridiculous that is. For if I wanted to do that, I could have did that 20 years ago. And become a star. They do not understand. But those in divine administration need to understand what I'm saying. For as I become whatever I become in music, I intend to meet the masses. I intend to become a spiritual prophet to the world. No. I will sing. I will manifest my spiritual music in front of the millions, in front of the hundreds of thousands, live and on stage. And I would do sacred concerts, and I would heal the souls and physical bodies of thousands, perhaps millions of people in this lifetime. I plan on doing that. When I get out there, I'll be the spiritual leader that God has prepared me to be. Not just a musician. The spiritual leader first and foremost. The music, that's just something I do. God wants you to please Him before anyone or anything else. So I have tried to please God every day. And pleasing God, like a little kid, I find out, oh, it's so doggone hard sometimes. Ever try to tell your kids to do something they don't want to do? Ever try that? Boy, they don't get it. They complain, they moan, but it's something they should do. And the father, the mother is asking them, do this, help. That's what God does to me every day. It's not what I want to do. You see, I wanted to be out there singing before the masses when I was 6 years old. It's been in my heart all of this time. So every day getting up and doing what God has before me has never been quite what I wanted it to be. Oh, I've had days of exhilaration, recording music was a wonderful thing. The whole world made the right choices and decisions and stood up to the falseness of it all like Marlon Brando did when he got the Academy Award. He didn't accept it. He sent a Native American woman up there to make a statement. As your consciousness rises yourself, we can say your psychic circle rises, and you begin to see the brightness of a vaseen mind, a mind that sees things in a thousand different ways. When you see your developing soul's greatness in God, then you would dare to dream that your efforts to change the consciousness of the world can happen. Because you are changed, you're happening. And because you can see a change in yourself, then you know that you can help lead the way for others who need to make those first baby steps. Because you've taken the baby steps, you've made them, then you've taken the next giant steps. And you're becoming, you're changing. You look in the mirror and you see a different person. That's good. You see the God self rising. I'd like to close with Nelson Mandela's short but powerful 1994 inaugural speech. He says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. As we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Be that presence, destiny reservist. Thank you.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.